Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, part two of our interview with a fascinating international businessman. Randy Thompson has the rundown.
We're going to continue our conversation with Gene Humphrey. He's the president of International Test Solutions.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Amber Joyner, Ernie Adler, and Heidi Smith. It's all coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Have your pantries turned into a food museum? Unused cans and boxes get lost. California Closets can organize your pantry so that everything stays fresh. Zero down, 0% financing available. Call or go online today to schedule your free in-home design consultation.
Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Why are you still sitting on that couch? You know you could be out there cooking for a living. You speak food. That's why you got to call Le Cordon Bleu. They'll help get you out there with training in less time than you think. Sounds good, right? So grab your phone right now and call Le Cordon Bleu. They'll send you a complimentary career guide so you can see what it's really like to work in the culinary arts.
Call 800-817-5790 or text GOLCB68 to 94576. Call or text now.
Did you call yet?
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
You have extra room in your house that you don't even know about. California Closets can transform an office or spare room into a multifunctional space by adding a Murphy bed. Zero down, 0% financing available. Call or go online today to schedule your free in-home design consultation.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, Randy Thompson and I are going to continue our conversation we started in our previous broadcast with Gene Humphreys, president of International Test Solutions. This is an international company that exports from Reno, Nevada, manufactures in Reno, Nevada, and has offices in Singapore, Taiwan, Japan, South Korea, and China. In the previous program, you were talking about how you felt that government grants adversely affected R&D for companies. And I wanted to get your thought on, you know, it used to be that we had one of the greatest companies in the world in the Bell companies when they had their own R&D facility. I mean, if you look at the history of what they were able to accomplish, now they were a monopoly, but the things that they invented were just amazing over, what, a 40, 50-year cycle?
Well, it was absolutely amazing. I had friends that worked there, and it was a fabulous, fabulous company. Xerox PARC also is a very good example, and which led to many of the products that Apple, you know, now sells today. But many technologies came out of Xerox PARC also. But those were private entities.
But and they were, the Bell companies were monopolies.
Absolutely, right. And so in some cases, I think you can have that. I mean, you see companies like Google have a lot of money, go off and invest in wild and crazy things that I think many of them will fail, but maybe one of them will turn out to be good. That's a better way to go about it than have the taxpayer determine what products are good and what are not. I could give you a good example of how it failed. In the program that I worked on in the Department of Energy, there was a coal gasification technology. And at that time, the country felt they needed liquid fuels, so they needed gasoline and diesel fuel. And so the goal was to get convert coal to a gaseous fuel and then take the gaseous fuel and convert it to a liquid. And sell it as gasoline or diesel fuel. That whole project was put together as a private sector company. I left the government and worked with General Electric and Union Carbide and others to put the project together, and we had the project funded. And then they formed the Synthetic Fuels Corporation, and the Synthetic Fuels Corporation would give private sector loan and price guarantees, but then you had to go back to the government to get loan and price guarantees. Before they came out with the Synthetic Fuels Corporation, we had the project put together. The equity investors were there, the debt investors were there, using the existing tax structure. The internal rate of return was such that it would be built. There was a contract to take the final product, and so under normal commercial terms, that facility would have been built. Synthetic Fuels Corporation came about. Now then, the debt equities and the debt investors and the equity investors required us to go back to Synthetic Fuels Corporation and get a loan guarantee and get a price guarantee. 2.5 years later, they shut down the Synthetic Fuels Corporation and the plant wasn't built.
All right.
Isn't it depressing to think of the money that has been vested and lost when they just didn't let the private sector sort of run the road, you know, right. run the gamut that they can.
Well, $148 billion at that time is probably, what, $600 billion, $700 billion? And they think if they throw out these big numbers, a lot of numbers, that, you know, it's going to fix the problem. Basically, it gives them a lot of political cover for doing things. But I never really saw anything really worthy come out of it. There was some basic research that went forward that you know, we use today, but most part private sector would have done it.
For those who may have missed the first segment, go to NevadaNewsMakers.com and pick up on the first segment with Gene Humphrey, because we were talking about some fascinating things, and one of them was that China is investing literally $1 trillion over a 5-year period in various areas. And you know, how does the United States compete with that? You know, we're not a communist country. We don't have that, and we certainly don't have the kind of money to invest like that. How do we compete?
Yeah, I'm not sure how the U.S. competes against that. You see this happen not only in China, but a new semiconductor plant built in Israel, adding on new technology, was given a grant of $600 million to build that facility there. Over in the western part of China, one of the U.S. companies was given close to $600 million for the construction of a facility over there. I think the taxpayers in the U.S. would have a huge outcry if you supported private industry in that method in the United States. But you could, through low-interest loans, no-interest loans, provide good working capital for the private sector to develop good technologies. But I don't think you want the government picking and choosing those technologies and those investments. They need to be reviewed by an investment committee of bankers, investment people who understand risk management, and then quantify it. Is it a good investment or not?
Well, this is kind of what the state of Nevada is saying they're going to do with the Catalyst Fund, but there's been some strong criticism that they're taking public sector dollars and picking and choosing companies to succeed. How familiar are you with the Catalyst Fund and the governor's economic plan, and does it make sense to you to...
Well, I've read, I guess, what most everyone else has read about the fund and how it's going to be done, but, I mean, personally, it looks to me like it's just another one of the same old programs to spend money in the same old ways. I don't see anything really new or creative or innovative coming out of it. You know, the Brookings SRI Institute I thought they should have included, some form of commercialization of the Nevada test site. There was 15,000 good jobs that could be brought there very quickly through that, and it wouldn't even be considered. Maybe something will come out of it. I hope so, and I'd like to be part of it if it could happen, but I haven't been too excited about what I've seen yet.
All right, let's take a break. More with Gene Humphreys when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to nevadanewsmakers.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is coming to South Reno. Enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit of South Virginia.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Do you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS or state in back taxes? Hi, I'm Max with Blue Tax. Due to the current economy, the IRS and state tax agencies are being more lenient, but this won't last long. Here's how it works. Let's say you owe $20,000. With Blue Tax, this is what your settlement could look like. Great, right? There are many relief programs that taxpayers just don't know about, and you could wind up paying way less than you owe. Our team of attorneys and enrolled agents can negotiate settlements, lift bank levies, remove wage garnishments, eliminate penalties and interest, and reduce back payroll taxes. And at Blue Tax, we mean business. Those are my tax attorneys, and they don't mess around. They'll call the IRS or state on your behalf and negotiate your settlement for you. It's that easy. So call us right now for a free consultation at 800-969-2984. Or visit www.bluetax.com. And remember, you heard it from me, Max, at Blue Tax. 800-969-2984.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is coming to South Reno. Enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit of South Virginia.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with international businessman based in Northern Nevada, Gene Humphreys, president of International Test Solutions. You were talking about having funds overseen by bankers and the government in terms of who would get low-cost loans. At this point, when you look at Wall Street and the banking industry, do you have any faith that they would act in good faith and not have bets against companies that they felt might fail, and so they'd do the same tricks that they've been up to?
But that's really the market, isn't it? I mean, you think something's a good investment, I think it's a bad one.
Right, but I mean, if it's the same bank, I mean, that what we saw was companies that were setting up...
Covering your risk. I mean, you know, I mean, that's the financial institution itself.
But is that good, you know, when you're using the government's money?
Well, I don't think you ought to use the government's money to do it. As long as you're using the private sector money, I think that's fine. And I wasn't proposing, you know, when I talk about bringing a company to Nevada, I think the method that should be, it should be a group of very...
Let me point out, I was speaking more on a national, you know, you were kind of leading onto a national level, not,
yeah.
not the Nevada.
Oh,
not
sorry.
The catalyst fund, yeah.
Yeah. On a national kind of scale, you know, I think there ought to be a program in place where you can get low interest or no interest loans. In some cases, maybe some grants. You see that in Singapore, for example. Singapore invests, I think it's $8 billion a year in a research facility looking at medical technology, engineering, those kind of functions, and it's paid for totally by the government. And then they have a group called A-STAR that will take those R&D developments and then try to commercialize them. And I've suggested to people in Nevada that you contact those types of organizations and look for new ideas. I saw one when I was there last time that was a plasma technology that would have fit nicely into the medical system in the United States. But you, I think you put together a group of pretty smart guys who are experienced, who've been businessmen for a long time, maybe retired, with little to gain out of selecting good technologies. Do a good thorough evaluation on it like any investment banking company would do. Then go to the investment banking companies and try to get them funded. And then if you need a little bit of additional support from the state, either through maybe a loan guarantee or something like that, then you move that business to Nevada and get it started. That would work, I think, most any place in the United States.
So you want to see more private sector involvement in bringing jobs to Nevada, not government sector?
I think that's the best way. Yeah, mm-hmm. Private sector, I think, will always do it better than the government will do it.
All right, so now you've got great experience, obviously working in an area of the world that is booming, which is Asia. Yeah. You know, what kind of suggestions do you have for Nevada companies to be able to take advantage of both, you know, selling goods and services in Asia and bringing businesses from Asia? We're seeing a lot of, and I'm presuming Senator Reid had a good deal to do with this, of Chinese companies coming to Nevada with cash and wanting to invest in various projects. But who else should we be drawing?
Well, I listened to the chairman of the Chinese investment bank talking, and they do have a lot of money to invest. You have to listen carefully to the words, too. What he's saying is they want to invest in infrastructure kind of projects.
The way they have in the Caribbean?
The way they have in the Caribbean and in developing countries. They want to be in industries that are important to the countries, to the locales in which they've invested in, so that they can have they have more than a say as just an investor, that they can have a say in the political decisions that are made relative to that region. So I think you have to be careful about that. But I would tell businessmen in Nevada, you got to go to China, you got to go to India, because that's where the consumers are right now. And I listened to a speech from Intel about 10 years ago, and they said, if you're not in China, you're late. Well, you're really late now if you're not in China trying to sell your product there. The thing you have to be extremely careful of, though, is your intellectual property. China, Korea, Japan, any of them, intellectual property will get away from you in a heartbeat if you manufacture there. And so you need to be extremely careful in doing the manufacturing.
I thank you so much for all this time you've given us today. What a fascinating guest. And thank you, Randy, for bringing you to my attention. And we look forward to having you back on the program.
Okay.
Really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts, so you can succeed, so you can plan, so you can dream, and always remember, press on.
With all the uncertainty around healthcare, if you don't have health insurance through your work, now is a good time to find an individual plan that makes sense for your needs and budget from a name you can trust, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. For example, Kristen just started her own business.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield helped me compare plans, and my personal doctor was in their large network. And when I needed surgery later, I didn't worry about my savings or my bottom line.
Or take George, who retired early and chose a plan that covers prescriptions.
I had a little health scare recently. My doctor ran some tests and changed my prescription. And now, I'm back in the game.
With Caitlin's busy life, she needed coverage she could count on with preventive care.
Because with kids, you never know what will happen.
If you're looking for individual health coverage that makes sense, join all the people who depend on Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
For a free rate quote, contact your local agent. Call 1-866-771-0119 or visit us online at anthemforme.com.
Had a doubt. You always knew where you were going, and all along the way, it was fun 'cause you were growing,
and you always knew what was right. fight for you. Now you're ready to bring it home. Ennis Fine Furniture.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Heidi Smith is here, the Republican National Committeewoman for Nevada. Ernie Adler is former state senator, and Amber Joyner is director of government relations for the Nevada State Medical Association. Pleasure to have you all here. So, Heidi, your thoughts on the Ray Hager corporate tax?
Sorry, Ray, but I disagree with you. Here's the thing. If I'm thinking about coming to Nevada and you pull in a corporate tax, you know where I'm going? Texas. So you have to determine why so many companies are going to Texas. What are the other things that Texas offers that draws them there, and then reproduce them here in Nevada?
Well, probably it's a better education system in Texas than there is in Nevada. Not so much the corporate tax. Nevada is losing a lot of revenue on this deal when you have a 0.0% corporate tax. Well, and I see you rolling your eyes, but I'm
And Texas does have a fairly large gross business tax, which we don't have. And that's the same thing that Danny Thompson suggests the AFL-CIO put on the ballot. So Texas does have a fairly substantial tax. It's not a corporate tax, but it's a gross proceeds tax.
And it's,
which we don't have.
And it's not working very well there.
Well,
people are quite unhappy with it.
Well, but as Heidi said, people are still going to Texas. Businesses are still going there, even though there is
and
that.
And they offer a lot of incentives we don't, and I believe that we're not constitutionally allowed to offer.
Correct.
Okay. Your thoughts, Amber?
Well, I think everyone agrees the tax structure in our state needs to be revised, as Debbie Smith said, but I think we'll spend the next 20 years deciding how that should look, and I'm sure something will pass, and then they'll change it, and everyone agrees it needs to be changed, but I'm just not sure if the corporate tax is the way to go, or if we can call it something else so people don't jump
so let's
hard.
Not call it the Ray Hager corporate tax.
I was joking.
My point is, it wouldn't get passed in Nevada, because you would need two-thirds in both houses, and then you'd have to get approval from the governor, so it's just not going to happen. But there's an incongruency that the New York Times points out, that California has an 8.8% corporate tax rate and Nevada has a 0.0 corporate tax rate. That's all I'm saying.
Do you want to respond to that?
Yes, I'd like to respond to that. Having come here from California, what is the reason so many of us have come over? California isn't a good place to live anymore because you're taxed to death. And they know that pretty soon that entire card house is going to fall down. Now, what do we have to do to get those companies to come here? And absolutely, our education system sucks. I had 6 children come through the high schools here, and I can show you from the top one to the bottom one how the education has changed. We have put more money in and produced less. So I think if we change the structure of our educational system, get it so that if a company comes here, they have people they can hire. Because several companies that I know of in California will not come because they say, you don't have the type of personnel that we can hire.
But isn't that incumbent upon the community colleges, and aren't they doing a pretty good job at this point?
Well, community colleges are doing a good job, but when you compare us to someplace like Silicon Valley, which has Stanford and Berkeley and San Jose State and several other colleges, we just don't match up.
Right, but is that even a fair comparison?
Yes, it is, because that's what we're competing with. I mean, that's why they have Apple, that's why they have Facebook, that's why they have all these up-and-coming companies is essentially this great educational infrastructure, which we've never developed.
Right, but Tony Hsieh down in Southern Nevada is attempting to build exactly that kind of community down in downtown Las Vegas, moving the Zappos company into the old city hall down there, and is expending a lot of money to fly in people from Silicon Valley to open their businesses in Southern Nevada.
But that's only going to work if you improve the higher ed system in Nevada. I mean, that's...
And you know, this thing about moving companies into Nevada, I think is very overrated. Why doesn't Nevada focus on starting up Nevada companies and Nevada entrepreneurs?
Because we tax them. I mean, this $200 for an in-house business that you're going to start, why bother starting it?
Well, if $200 is going to chase you out of the state of Nevada, I don't want you to come here anyway.
Well,
I mean, that's...
That's the people inside the state. I mean, they figure... Here's the problem, though. Once you get started, it leaves the door open. So people say, well, I'm not quite sure what Nevada's doing, so I'm pretty safe in a state like Texas, so I'll just go there. We have to maintain what, or determine what we want, and then maintain that.
And Amber, isn't that the true fact there, which is businesses are sitting on cash because they don't understand the stability situation in Nevada?
I think there's definitely some uncertainty there that some businesses may be holding back. But I think this is an interesting question about why don't Nevadans just be the entrepreneur and start their own businesses. I think we need to recruit people like that or train them in our state. And unfortunately, when we're cutting higher ed, we don't get those high-tech people trained, enough of them. We don't recruit the high-caliber people into our state out of high school and keep them and train them, and then they become the tech entrepreneurs. I think it's a huge problem when we're cutting the community colleges and universities that we don't end up with that group of people.
Well, we're cutting them because we don't have any tax money.
Okay.
It's all related.
And that's where we got to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Is your child happy in school? Is the pace too fast or too slow? Does your child need a more flexible or individualized approach? Some children simply thrive in a different kind of classroom. That's why you have another public school choice. Online learning from K-12. A full-time alternative to the traditional classroom, available as a tuition-free public school option. K-12 powers accredited public schools that bring learning to life for students grades K through 12. Call now for your free information kit to learn how K-12 could be the best option for your child. Parents and teachers enthusiastically endorse it.
I made a switch to online learning because I saw results. I just saw a blossoming of kids' excitement for education.
Our state-certified teachers customize lesson plans, organize field trips, and guide learning. Kids work at the level and pace just right for them without classroom distractions. With K-12, you get teacher support, books, school supplies, and materials for experiments, all included. And in most cases, the program is tuition-free.
You'll hear from every person that ever works with K-12 curriculum that it is top-notch.
In fact, 92% of K-12 parents are satisfied their student benefits academically. As a full-time public school option or to purchase supplemental courses, think K-12.
The ability to have the online school and still be part of a public school system is priceless.
Call now or go online for your free information kit. See how K-12 can be the right choice for your child.
Now accepting enrollments for Reno area students in grades K through 12. Call K-12 today for your free information kit or go online to learn more.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Well, coming up tomorrow, we'll have Assemblyman Debbie Smith, who's running for the state Senate.
We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and love you.